Welcome to the Mostly Podcast at Night, episode 227, Resident Evil.
A secret podcast, a deadly virus, a fatal mistake.
How does the secret podcast fit into that scenario exactly?
I'm not really sure, but we are a secret. We're a good, well-kept secret.
That's not a good thing.
No,
you don't want to be a well-kept secret.
Come on, guys.
You want to be something that people know about. Hello, Penelope.
People know us.
One of our audience members is here. Oh, hi, everybody. By the way, Penny says hello, too.
Hello. How are you guys doing today?
We're great. How are you?
Good. We are back from sabbatical.
We're back. Chaos is in her new house. Their new house. I can't even do my own pronouns correctly.
I don't feel so bad now. It is a lovely house that you have here.
Thank you.
And there's actually a podcasting room, which is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
So this is nice.
We have our own dedicated room to podcast in now. This is very exciting.
And perhaps one day it will be soundproof.
Yeah.
Echoey.
And I'll have a little futon in here, and we can play video games and stream.
That would be nice. That would be so nice.
Yeah.
I would love that.
Me too.
I live to dream.
Mm-hmm. That's my dream. I'm going to save up for a futon.
Can I still stay in the farty chair?
Sure.
Cool. How should we go in the movie?
Other than moving, it was, you know, fine. Moving was just such a bear.
I moved your chair. Moved your table. Oh my god, I moved your table.
Yeah, you know, I forgot to put the little grippy pads on it. I just put this table together a couple days ago, and it came with these little grippy feet, and I forgot to put them on it, so it slides around.
You know what? You're such a slacker.
I know.
One thing you could have done. I don't know.
And then the desk wouldn't have moved around quite so easily, yeah, but yeah.
That's true. I have pushed, though. Oh, look.
We've got our audience member, Puka, with us today.
Yes, in the room.
In the room. Yeah, this is her first time being in the room when we've recorded.
She's right next to me.
Except for when I've, like, held her. But I don't think I've held her during the show. I used to do that with Dexter, but I don't really... She's such a wiggle worm that I really can't hold her while we podcast. Dexter would just sleep.
No, we know the truth. You just like Dexter better.
Yeah, that's what it is. He was the bestest boy ever.
Ever. Oh, so it's nice to be back, though.
So nice to be back. I'm so thrilled to be in my new house. And I'm so thrilled to be back podcasting.
Me too. It was nice to have a break, but yeah. I'm glad to be back, too.
Me too.
And coming up soon, because it's September already, so Sawtober is going to be coming up pretty soon.
Sawtober!
So we got to get ready for that pretty soon.
Sawtober!
Which, just as a reminder, it's going to be all the Saw movies in October.
We still have to plan this out.
Yes, I know we do. We'll have to do that next Friday. We'll have to plan next Friday better, because it's already 8 o'clock, and we're just starting a podcast.
Yeah, I know.
So we'll have to plan next week better, like have like good dinner. The house and do something like that. I don't know. I'll have to figure something out.
Yeah.
It takes us like 17 minutes to go get food now.
Yeah.
Each way.
It used to take like 4.
Yeah. So it's like, yeah. It takes me 15 minutes to get here and then 17 minutes to go get food each way. So by the time we eat dinner, it's 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
So we'll have to plan better. We're still trying to figure this stuff out. We're trying to get our feet wet.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a learning curve, right?
Yeah, it's just a process. It's a process. No big deal. It's just a process.
But we're still going to do Sawtober. We will get it planned, and we're excited for it, and we can't wait for that to happen. And but yeah, maybe we should talk about who we are and what we do before we even get into this movie, though.
Sure. We are the Mostly Podcast at Night.
Mostly.
Whoa. We are two best friends of 20 years who bicker and banter our way through a different horror movie each week. We take turns picking the flicks so you don't have to. And this week it was my turn. And I did not pick this as a revenge pick or a prevenge pick, even though I thought about doing that, because I already know that my prevenge pick is coming.
Ew. Oh, that was my phone. Sorry, my phone.
Ew, Clank.
It feels my pain.
Yeah, apparently.
Ugh. It's coming. I know it's coming. I know it's coming too. That's the bad part. It's like when you know it's coming and you're dreading it and you're like, oh, it's on its way.
Yep.
But yes, this was a good pick this week. So keep going. Sorry.
It's coming this month. Oh, either the 22nd or the 30th. What do you think?
Uh-huh. It's Fridays?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think one of those. It doesn't matter to me. I'll be here.
That's why I figured, but I said I would run it by you.
Anywhere.
Okay.
I'll be here for Christmas. I'm moving by then. So. I already told Cass I'm moving into their laundry room, so.
Yeah, there's plenty of room. It's a big laundry room. You could totally put a bed in there.
Yeah. I could live in a closet. It's fine.
Totally could put a bed in there.
I've been in a closet for 2 years in Boston, so it's fine.
Your studio apartment.
Mm-hmm. I had a huge walk-in closet, so I just lived in there, and I used the rest of it for, like, a living room, so it was nice.
Wow.
Yeah.
That would be cool. I would totally put my bed in a closet.
I put my bed in the kitchen at one point, too. I mean, there were places I could put my bed. It just wasn't in the main room, so.
Oh, that's funny.
Anyway, my 20s.
That's what you do when you're 20s. You live in a crappy apartment.
I love that apartment. It wasn't crappy.
Oh, okay. Small. You live in a small apartment. How about that?
You didn't finish the podcast intro, though, so I'm going to go there.
Okay. Yeah, so you have a small apartment, or you did in your 20s.
Yes.
But you were living in Massachusetts. I mean, that's so cool.
Oh, I fucking loved it there. If I could live there again, I totally fucking would. I just can't afford it. That's why I left in my 20s.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, that was bothering me. I'm going to move that. Again, it's a process, Justin, right?
Yeah.
I'll move it back.
My uncle just recently moved to Phoenix, and he's already coming back to St. Louis. No, he was St. Louis.
Oh, okay.
Not that uncle.
That's like that uncle.
Such a weird, random uncle for you to pick, but yeah, no.
We were talking about Massachusetts. You talked about your uncle moving to Phoenix. I thought we were talking about a Massachusetts uncle.
No,
not that random, you know.
Okay, I see your point.
See where I'm at there?
But...
So Phoenix was expensive?
Phoenix was, he said it was like the most expensive place he'd ever lived, and he's lived all over.
I'm like, I know it's expensive. Huh? Thank you. Uncle Steve?
No, Uncle Ted, my mom's brother.
Let me guess the rest of them. I know your uncles.
Okay, it's not Uncle Scott. It's not
my friendship to you by guessing all of your uncles.
It's not Uncle Scott, it's not Uncle Bill, it's not Uncle Steve, and it's not Uncle Jeb. That leaves Uncle Ted.
You know what?
What?
I was going to guess all of them, because I know your uncles.
Bet yeah, you do.
Bet you don't know my uncles.
No, I don't.
See? I'm more invested in our profession than you are. All right, wrap up our intro so we can get to this movie.
Okay, yeah. So spoilers ahead and expletives ahead.
This week we did Resident Evil. It was done in 2002. It was rated R. It was an hour and 40 minutes long, and it got a 6.6 out of 10 on the IMDb scale.
No.
What about the tomato reader?
My bows are closed. I don't know.
Did you say your bows are closed?
My browser.
Oh, I was going to be like, Bowser's here. Yes.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be great?
That would be awesome. You'd defeat him.
Let's see. Rotten Tomatoes. Resident.
New cast, new house, same problems.
Evil. Oh,
not
shut up.
Ready.
This is not my fault.
You know, it'd be cool if you could find a place to permanently mount your mic.
I know. That would be cool, yeah. Why can't I fucking find this movie?
Because it doesn't exist. Except in the multiverse.
Oh, because I searched for Reside.
Oh, well, that would be why.
Like, all the other Resident Evils would come up, though, except for that one. I don't even understand why. Okay. All right. So the tomato meter is sitting at a green splotch at a 35%.
What?
Critics' consensus, like other video game adaptations, Resident Evil is loud, violent, formulaic, and cheesy.
Fuck that.
Audience score 67%.
That's more like it. What the fuck, dude? What the actual fucking fuck?
I don't know.
Critics suck.
The critics only gave Underworld a 17%. Underworld Evolution.
Never seen Underworld.
Oh, really? Well, we're going to be doing that for the podcast. I own it.
What did they give Waterworld? Did they give that a 90? Because then we know they're really
popular. Dude, I don't fucking know. This is, you might also like, Waterworld is not on there. It says Underworld Evolution, Final Destination, Snakes on a Plane, which got a higher rating than Final Destination and this movie. Blade 2 and Alien vs. Predator. In fact, Snakes on a Plane did better than all of those movies I just mentioned.
I had never seen Snakes on a Plane, but just by words alone, I think it's going to be a far less superior movie.
Oh my god, Snakes on a Plane is fucking hilarious.
Is it?
I've told you this before.
Probably.
Snakes on a Plane is amazing. I love it.
Should we do casting?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm tired of these motherfucking snakes on this motherfucking plane.
You wouldn't be tired of them, though. You'd be like cuddling them all. That's the funny thing.
That's true.
Liar. You'd be like, more snakes. Snakes on a plane. This is like the best flight ever.
What? I could handle a few more snakes on this plane, please.
Snakes in the toilet? It's totally cool. I love snakes.
That's like when the guys came to install the internet here. I was like, you guys don't have a problem with spiders, do you?
And they were like, yes.
They were like, no, spiders are fine. I'm like, okay, good. So then I come in here and there's two spiders like right where you're sitting.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, here they are. And they're like, oh.
I think they thought you meant like you had a spider web in the corners. And I don't think they thought you meant you had teas.
Probably not.
Yeah.
I did warn them, kind of.
Not in the right way.
No, I probably should have said, by the way, there's two giant fucking huge spiders in my room.
Yeah, which bothers me, by the way, so they need to go out of this room.
They're going to be in this room. Look, there's three right there.
I know they're here and it bothers me. All right, you ready for casting?
Yeah, let's do the cast. Let me pull up here on my phone.
Computer's dusty, by the way, from back here. I'm dusting your computer as we go.
Thanks.
You're welcome. I'm going to write wash me on it.
Okay.
Or dust me. I should have done dust me, damn it.
Yeah, you should have. Hocus Pocus 2. No, sir, shut up.
Yeah, I want to see that movie.
Me too.
Okay. I'm going to a viewing party, so...
You are?
Mm-hmm.
Aww.
Just at Kelly's house. I'll see if you're invited.
Okay, let's see. All right. So, our cast. Let's see. Alice was Mila Jovovich.
In Resident Evil, everything. Hello. Also in The Fifth Element and The Fourth Kind.
Matt was Eric Mabius.
He was in The L World, L Word. Cruel Intentions and Welcome to the Dollhouse.
That's right. He was in The L Word.
He was Tim. He was the asshole.
He was Tim. We all hated Tim.
We hate Tim. Although he did kind of get screwed too.
He did. Sarah, so. He definitely did. I hated Sarah
too. It was a horrible, horrible relationship.
Yeah. All right. Let's see here. Spencer?
Mm-hmm.
Who's Spencer? I don't see him.
He was Spence.
I don't see Spence.
He's... Are you looking at the IMDb cast?
Yeah.
You gotta scroll down.
I did.
Yeah, Spence is there. It's James Purfoy. Our first British actor.
Okay, here he is. A lot of British
hair.
James Purfoy.
He's in John Carter, Frankenstein, and Vanity Fair.
Rain was Michelle Rodriguez.
Of course, from the Fast and Furious movies, but she was also in Machete and Avatar.
Kaplan was Martin Cruz.
Another Brit. He was in DOA, Matchpoint, and Neighbors.
JD was Pasquale Aliardi.
Yes, a Swiss. He was in I've Never Been in New York, A Royal Affair, and What a Man.
And one was... Where'd they go? Colin Salmon.
He was in Alien vs. Predator, Punisher, and Deathstroke. And then this week, we also...
No wonder he was so familiar looking.
Oh,
sorry.
He's like one of the most famous Brit. He's another Brit. Famous Brit. Which kills me that most of the actors were not American in this movie, but they all had American accents. But it's because of Anderson had problems with his last pick, so he chose to film in Europe. Because he did, what's that one that we hate with Jason Isaacs and Sam Neill? So fucking horrible. Help me out here. It's in space.
Oh, Event Horizon.
Yes, that movie, because it went so poorly with the production and Hollywood studio, whatever it was. Mm. So he decided to go to Europe, and that's why a lot of the actors and actresses are...
Oh.
Speaking of, we've got two honorable mentions, one German, one Brit. Heike McIntosh was Lisa. She was actually in Love Actually, I've Never Been to New York. And Jason Isaacs, our favorite Jason Isaacs, does a cameo as Dr. Birkin. He, of course, was Lucius Malfoy in the Harry Potter movies, also in The Patron, and most recently in Operation Mincemeat.
Cool.
Yay. Do you want a little summary?
I would love one of your famous 5-second summaries.
Evil corporation tries to take over the world. And then Tesla then watched this movie and saw how it was really done. And things went awry. I had a choice.
Excellent.
It was either Tesla or Amazon.
Excellent. Bezos. Is that how you say his name?
Jeff Bezos.
Bezos.
I don't know.
Bezos.
There's a song about it. I don't know. I can't remember. It's a TikTok song too. Bezos, I think it is.
Okay, I thought it was Bezos. Yeah.
I think Eon's even more.
Oh, evil-er. I want to mention the Red Queen, okay? I know she's not anybody, but she was so cute, and I just loved her as the Red Queen, Michaela Dicker.
You're all going to die down here.
All going to die down here.
Mine was kind of Southern. I don't know what the fuck that was. That was not British.
Neither was mine. It's okay.
No, yours was a lot better. Yours was a lot more better. A lot more better.
A lot more better? Thank you.
What was she in? Do you know?
Oh, let's see. She doesn't even have a picture on IMDb. It says she was in Resident Evil, Stig of the Dump, and The Sight.
Is this the last thing? Yeah, this is the last thing she did, too.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, she has not done anything since 2002.
Oh, it's archive footage. Okay. I was going to say that she was in the final chapter, but that's just archive footage, which I haven't seen yet, and I'm super excited about. So, you picked this movie?
Yeah.
What was your reasoning for picking this movie? Did we talk about that yet?
I mean, my picks are usually just like, oh, look, it's streaming and I've wanted to watch it. So, here we go. Well, I wanted to do Resident Evil because it is a quintessential zombie movie. And more importantly, it is a zombie movie that does not make me want to tear out my eyeballs and then vomit everywhere.
Good. That's always good to see.
Mm-hmm. Literally. Haha. See? I enjoy this movie. I saw it in the theaters, and I wanted to see if watching it again, I would enjoy it as much as I did the first time. Because I haven't really watched it since.
Really?
Yeah. Even though I really enjoyed it. I might have watched it a couple times since, but I haven't watched it. I think I watched it after it came out, but I haven't watched it in years, so.
Oh, I was going to say, I do own it, so I've seen it several times because of that,
mm-hmm.
And I don't know where it is, but I do own it, so.
That's pretty par for the course with you.
Shut up. I think I even owned it on VHS, too, at some point.
Wow.
So, I like this movie a lot. Yeah. All right, well, let's get into it. Start us off.
All right. Let's see. Well, we start off with, let me think. The very opening scene is a man in a hazmat suit, and he is moving viruses, test tubes or sealed virus tubes. He's moving them from where they're stored into a case, which then locks and he takes and leaves. But as he's leaving the room, he takes one of the blue virus glass tubes and throws it behind him against a desk, and the virus and the tube shatters and the virus escapes into the air.
Just a dick move, let's be honest.
That was the biggest. I mean, he's definitely the Chad, but that is like the biggest dick move ever.
I just can't with him. I just can't, because there was no reason to kill 500 people under the ground. 500 people live in the hive.
I know. Like, why did you need to kill them? You could have just left. Like, why did you need to do that? That was totally unnecessary. It was just a purely dick move. There was no need for him to do that.
Spence the dick. I have questions, but I'm going to pause my question for a second. I do want to get to it. But everything kind of goes down and shut down at this point, right? As soon as those three scientists enter the lab. He gets out. Spence gets out. Because, come on. Oh, sorry. Spoiler alert. It was Spence. I think I already spoiled it. But he gets out, luckily, and the three scientists enter the lab, and all of a sudden the fire alarm goes off. It starts filling the room with water.
Yes.
But also, everywhere else, the doors lock, the elevators shut down, power goes off in some areas.
Mm-hmm.
But the Red Queen wasn't going to kill everyone, I think, and this is my question, kind of, until they took the axe and started chipping away at the window. Was she just going to contain it in that room until that happened? Like, the one scientist took the axe to try to get out of the window, and you see that crack of glass.
Right, the little chip of glass comes out. Well, then it escapes that room, and now it's in the common areas.
And that was my question, because before that happened, they were saying it escaped through the air conditioner. Or later she says it escaped through the air conditioner because the dogs went crazy before that even happened.
Right.
So was it because that glass chipped or was it because it was in the air conditioning vent?
Well, they show it going up into the air vents and then circulating. So okay. I think it was because of the air vent.
So she was going to kill them at all anyway.
Yeah, that's what okay. I think.
Because I know they showed that one scene. They just show that little piece of glass, and it's like, oh, maybe that's it. But then they say later it was the air conditioning. Mm-hmm. So they were all doomed from the start anyway.
Yeah, yeah. The Red Queen was going to murder all of them.
Which she does in fabulous fashion.
Yes, she does.
For the one, Miss Gray, the one chick.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, best death. Out of all the ways people die in this movie, I think that's my favorite death.
Okay, explain it then. You go for it.
Okay.
That's not my favorite.
So, oh, well then.
No, I'm just saying I have a different opinion, that's all.
So they try to get on the elevator and they're trying to get out of the hive. But they stop. The elevator stops and they don't know why, and the one guy's starting to panic, and they hear this screaming. They hear like this rumbling, and then they're like, what is that? Wait, shush, shush, shush. What is that? And then they hear screaming, and it's the other elevator car just like free falling down the shaft, and it hits the bottom, and obviously everybody dies. So
obviously.
So then they freak out and they're like, oh my God, okay, we gotta get out of this elevator. But then their elevator falls too. But then the brakes engage right at the last second, and they end up on floor 3, but they're alive. So they manage to wrench the doors open, and she, what's her name?
I think it was Miss Gray.
Miss Gray. She thinks that she can squeeze through, but that's ridiculous. But she does try.
I know, she's like, I can squeeze. I'm like, dude, your head can barely get through that.
Yeah.
It's like Tatum trying to go through the doggy door in Scream.
Right.
I can fit through that.
Right. Yeah. So she gets stuck and the elevator starts to fall again, and it's like this very tense moment where it rushes up towards her head, and you think she's gonna get decapitated, and then it stops at the last second, and she's like, oh my God. And then she's like, pull me in, but everybody's trying to push her out because they want to get out. And then all of a sudden the elevator jerks upwards and you think, oh no, and then it cuts her head off.
Yeah.
It's freaking awesome.
Everyone else, I mean, that's like the most violent death of the beginning. Everyone else dies kind of like Halen, I think it's called. Is it Halen or Halen? Halen, right? The gas. It's H-A-L-O-N. Is it Halen?
Halen, I guess.
Yeah, the Red Queen emits a gas everywhere else. The one she didn't drown in the labs, mm-hmm. she gases. It mm-hmm. kills them that way. Like Lisa and her coworkers. So, I mean, that's like the most violent death in the beginning is Miss Grace. So.
Right, yeah. So, meanwhile, Alice awakens in the bathroom of a deserted mansion, and she has amnesia. She does not know who she is or why she's there, or can't remember anything about her past. But she does open drawers, and at first it's like close, 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 and then she gets to one drawer, and it's guns, and she's like, oh! So she at least remembers enough to know that that's strange.
That's bad. That's bad.
Guns?
When she sees that note, that's weird. Tonight your dreams come true, or today your dreams come true.
Right.
And she tries to write to think if it matches her signature, and it doesn't.
It doesn't. So she's like, okay, I didn't write that. So she dresses and checks out the mansion. She goes outside, but the wind whips up, and it seems like something's coming towards her. And so she runs back inside, and then she gets tackled by a group of commandos.
Well, Matt and then the group comes in.
Well, Matt comes in first.
Yeah.
And then the commandos come in and they grab Matt and her. And they demand to have a report from her. And she's like, I don't know what you're talking about.
And they think Matt says he's a police officer.
Yeah.
So they cuff him.
Yeah.
Rain wants to kill him there, but, you know.
Yeah.
I love Rain.
Yeah, Rain's
so violent.
Oh, I love Rain. She's the greatest.
I just a little footnote. Michelle Rodriguez, before they had ever even made this, she told her agent if there ever was a Resident Evil movie, she wanted to be a part of it.
Really?
Yeah, and that's when, as soon as Anderson started, you know, sold the script or whatever, like her agent called her and right for it. And they were going to shorten her role to where she, I'm sorry, jumping ahead a little bit, and spoiler, where she dies, where JD dies.
Mm-hmm.
But Milo Jovovich fought for her to have a longer part in the movie.
Oh, wow.
Which was fabulous, because she was amazing in it.
So. Yeah, she was.
Yeah.
She was great. I loved Rain. Okay, so let's see. Everybody goes down to the Hive with the group, where they find Spence, who's supposedly another amnesiac. And he's in the train, and they, like, open a door, and he, like, falls in. The commandos explain that everyone in the group except Matt is an employee of the Umbrella Corporation. And Alice and Spence were actually, like, operatives put in place in the mansion to guard it, because it's really a back entrance to the Hive.
Yeah.
So,
and like, they have a fake marriage and everything.
Right, yeah. They have, like, pictures of themselves being married, and they have wedding bands that say property of Umbrella Corporation on the inside.
But as soon as Alice touches Spence, she has, like, flashbacks of them in bed.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, like, confusing for her.
Yeah, like, she's really confused because they've got a fake marriage, but that wasn't fake what they were doing between the sheets.
She tries not to let on. Like, he asks her, do you remember anything? She's like, nope, I'm good. I don't remember anything.
Nope, don't remember a thing. So they first they get to this room that's supposed to be a mess hall or like a
No, you're right, mess hall.
Yeah, but that's not what it's really called. It's cafeteria.
Dining room B.
Yeah, dining room B or something. But it's really this weird, like, there's smoke everywhere and there are these big containers that have lots of tubes and pipes going in and out of them, and they all have like green stable like glowing lights on them. And so they start out there, a couple of them stay behind, and then the rest of them go down to the Red Queen's chamber.
This is my favorite death. Can I talk about this part?
Yes.
Okay, so this is my favorite death scene because it's awesome. You have one. He's the leader of the group. Love him.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome. He, the medic, and two other operatives head into the Red Queen's chamber because Kaplan's taking down all their defenses. He's so great, and he's got all her defenses down, and they're going to go fry her ass. And they're in the room, and all of a sudden, as soon as the other three come in, the door's shut on both ends.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a weapon system that wasn't disarmed, and it's a laser. And the laser first comes at like neck length, and one is able to caution everyone to get down except for the medic. You just see her you know, one guy's hands, like three fingers fall off. He's calling, medic, medic. And the medic's head just slides off her neck.
Off her body, yeah.
Off her body. And then the laser, he's like, it's coming back. And the laser comes back, and this time it's going up higher. It's
down. It's down, yeah. And then it raises.
Yeah, because the guy was going to jump over it. The other operative was going to jump over it, and it slices him right in half.
Because it raised up, yeah.
And so one is able to cling to the ceiling, and just his knife gets shaved off. And then he's back down again, and the laser's coming. He's like trying to prepare for it.
And they're trying to turn it off. They're like behind the scenes, like Kaplan's like trying really hard to turn it off.
And it's not up or down. It's a grid. And just as Kaplan gets it off, the grid laser has just passed through one, and he just slides off in pieces.
He just becomes little chunks of a person.
He's like, it looks like a tuna caught in a neck.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I imagine.
It's real bad.
Which is sad, because I loved one, but it was a great death scene. Like, it's my favorite death scene.
I'm just sad that one died. I really liked one.
But it was a great way to get some of like the NPCs out of the way too that you didn't care about.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a great way to kill them all off. But Kaplan finally gets the weapons down.
He finally does, and he grabs the EMP device so that they can zap the Red Queen and make her reboot. So the Red Queen has an AI system, and it's represented by the programmer, like a likeness, a hologram of the lead programmer's daughter, who's so very cute. You're all going to die down here. I can't do it, but it's so cute.
A lot better than mine. So.
Thanks. So Kaplan disables it, She goes down, and he grabs out the motherboard so she can't reboot, thinking that way they've like solved the problem. But the problem is they just created a humongous problem for themselves, because when she went down, the power went down, and when the power went down, all the door locks went off, all the doors opened, and all the zombies came out.
Did the liquors get released at this point too?
Yes.
So the liquors are what's in those crates, yes. Those metal crates. Horrifying monsters.
Yes, they are. The CG does not hold up, but they are horrifying.
Yeah.
Nonetheless.
It's the T-virus shot directly into live flesh, as that's what happens.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, because every time it gets fresh flesh, it mutates.
Right.
So it's a fascinating little creature.
And then the thing that it fed off of mutates, too. Yes.
Fascinating.
Fascinating, yes.
So they're trying to get the fuck out.
Yeah.
And just as they hit Rain and JD, they're trying to get out. There's all, like, Rain has gotten bitten already by the time they get to JD. And mm-hmm. Rain, because she thought she found a survivor. Nope, she found a zombie that bit her in the hand.
Right.
And then after that, they all just kind of spill into that dining room.
Yeah, and JD, they're trying to get through this doorway, and they finally do. JD gets through. And what they don't know is there's just a horde of zombies on the other side of the door, and they grab JD, and Rain tries to grab him, but there's just too many of them, and they have to pull Rain out of the doorway so they can close it, and JD just gets eaten alive by this horde of zombies.
She gets bit again, then, too. She gets bit a couple times.
She does. JD bites her later, too.
Yeah. Luckily, Matt's able to unlock his cuffs at this point, so he's cuffless, finally.
Yeah.
Because he's trying to defend himself against these zombies while wearing cuffs, his hands tied behind his back. So he gets uncuffed, and they manage to... How do they manage to get out of that room? Do they go through the vent system at that point? They retreat, and I think that's when they head up to the vents. They, like, climb up a thing. Not quite the vents, but it's kind of like an upper ladder up, like almost like a catwalk.
Okay.
Yeah. And all this time, Alice is having these flashbacks mm-hmm. about meeting Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens. They retreat back to the Red Queen's chambers. That's where they retreat to.
Okay.
They're not at the catwalk yet. And they're just kind of holding there, which is funny because while they're back by the Red Queen, Alice is hanging out in the lab mm-hmm. by herself with the dogs, finds the zombie dogs.
Yeah.
And a gun. And kind of remembers herself a little bit.
And Matt is looking for information about Lisa, who it turns out is his sister. Mm-hmm. And he finds Zombie Lisa. Yeah, it was very sad.
Who Alex kills.
Alex kills her to save him, and Matt explains that they are environmental activists, and Lisa infiltrated Umbrella to smuggle out the evidence of their illegal experiments. Alice remembers that she was Lisa's contact in the Hive, but at that point she does not tell Matt because she knows that he would be pretty mad. And she doesn't remember if she betrayed her or not, so she doesn't want to be like, oh yeah, I was your sister's contact, when she might have betrayed her.
Right, because that's what Matt's thinking out loud, is that I think it's her contract betrayed her at that point. So, yeah, but they finally get back to the others, because I'm like, why are they off by themselves?
Yeah,
Like, I mean, it made sense for story, but it was at the same time, like, why would those commandos let the one amnesiac and the one prisoner off by themselves?
They wouldn't,
You know, ring. But they all kind of get back together at the Red Queen, where they're like, let's reactivate the Red Queen and get us the fuck out of here. Because they're kind of stuck there right now. Right?
Right, because they have 1 hour before the Hive traps them inside.
Oh, yeah, because it's going to blow the blast doors.
The blast doors are going to close, and nobody will be able to get out.
Because they're going to blow the whole thing.
Right.
Nuke it from orbit, only way to be sure.
Yeah, take off, nuke the site from orbit, only way to be sure. So Alice and Kaplan activate the Red Queen to find an exit. They, in order to force her to cooperate with them, they rig a remote so that they can shut her down and fry her butt if she doesn't help them at any time. So this is when they go escape through the maintenance tunnels.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, it's kind of like a ladder up there.
They're maintenance tunnels. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is where it's actually not up, it's down. Yes, it's down.
Okay.
And that's where they're like the maintenance tunnel for water and power go. That's
where they run into JD, though, because zombies do capture him in there.
Yes, a zombie JD bites Rain, and she has to shoot him dead, which is a shame.
It's very sad.
Yeah, it's very sad.
And that's when they climb the ladder, kind of like the catwalk at that point.
Yes.
Which they're catwalking, like they're crawling on the catwalk, and that thing breaks.
Mm-hmm.
And it separates Kaplan.
Yes.
From the rest of the one, he's got one bullet left.
Mm-hmm. He gets bitten.
He did.
Alice remembers that an antivirus is in the lab, but they find it missing. And then Spence and Alice remember together that Spence was the thief who stole and purposefully released the T-virus. And he hid the T-virus and the antivirus on the train. This is where Spence turns against the others, but he gets bitten by a zombie too.
But he still manages to get out, and then he shoots the locking mechanism in the lab they're in. Like, they're stuck in there.
Yeah, he's an asshole.
And Red Queen says she'll let them out if they kill Rain. She can't let their infected party go.
Right.
So that she tells Alice, if you kill Rain, you kill your infected party, I'll let you out of here. And instead of killing Rain, she kills the TV where they're broadcasting the Red Queen.
Right.
I love it because the door opens anyway, and on the other side is Kaplan, who fried the Red
and
Queen.
And he's like, I had to fry the Red Queen. She wouldn't let me in the door.
They make it back to the train. Like, Rain is, like, not doing well. Or they're trying to make it back to the train, but Mac gets there first. He grabs the antivirus, and he's about to inject himself
when the Red Queen sets the liquor on him.
I've been a bad girl.
Yeah, I love that.
Just fucking kills him. It's so great. And unfortunately, he reanimates by the time that they get back.
They get back to the train. And so Alice has to kill him, and she gets the antivirus. And then on the train, they inject Rain and Kaplan with the antivirus as they're speeding towards safety.
You know what's funny about that? I'm sure it's intentional, but it's like Alice in Wonderland, the Red Queen, and off with your head.
Mm-hmm.
And she takes his head off. I just think that's kind of funny.
Yep.
So
the liquor hit on the train and attacks them. He claws Matt on the arm, unfortunately, and he kills Kaplan, unfortunately.
Pulls him right out of that fucking door.
Yeah. Alice subdues the liquor. I don't remember how. She shoots him in the head.
She does, but then she takes, there's
these
poles, these metal poles, and Matt's kind of thrust them into the liquor, but then they spill out everywhere. So Alice grabs one, she jams it through the liquor's tongue.
To keep him where he is, because he's standing on top of a Trapdoor.
And she takes the other one and throws it, like, she, like, kind of sticks him with it. So she's kind of got, like, these two poles, like, keeping him in place so Matt can get the trapdoor and make him go down.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, he runs into the zombified rain because the antivirus didn't work on her.
Yes. And he gets attacked by rain. He has to shoot her dead right in the head. Her head hits the button, opening the door and dropping the liquor under the train, which finally kills it. At the mansion, Rat's wound begins mutating. But before Alice can give him the antivirus, the mansion doors burst open and a group of Umbrella scientists seizes them.
Yeah, that's where Dr. Birkin comes in.
Yes.
And he says, put Matt in the Nemesis group.
I want him in the Nemesis project.
And then they take Alice. Like it takes like four scientists to hold Alice back.
Yeah, she's like trying to fight them. She's using all her martial arts skills, but she's fucking exhausted because she's just been downstairs in the hive kicking ass. And they manage to subdue her and she gets put in the program as well, apparently.
Yeah, she gets. She wakes up in a vacant hospital, totally naked. And she managed to escape by taking one of her IVs out and breaking it off in the lock. And this hospital is, like, vacant.
Yeah, nobody's around anymore.
And you get out of the hospital, and it's a deserted, fucked up Raccoon City.
Yeah, it's a total ruin. She grabs a shotgun from an abandoned police car and goes through the streets, and that's where it ends.
Yeah. On to the next. Yay!
Woo!
So, good movie. Good flick.
Oh, so fun. It's just, like, it's a fun movie.
I was watching this with Brother of Carnage, and
yeah,
I was like, there was like the one of the first scenes has like a goof, and I'm like, where'd he go to? Like, because one of the first scenes you see Spence run into one of the lab people.
Yeah,
but when you look, Spence came from where there was a wall. It's a pretty big goof. My brother's like, well, you know, it was low budget. It was a $33 million budget.
It was not low budget, no.
So I'm like, that's just an error.
Mm-hmm.
Funny. But I've just loved going through it again. Mama Carnage never seen it before, so it was kind of funny seeing her watching. She just enjoyed the shit out of it. Those dogs were fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
That's the worst part of the dog. I never played the games, did you?
I have. I don't play them anymore because it's not my style of game. It's like your resources are very, very limited, and so is what you can carry, and it's very hard, and it's not my style of, like, I also am not good at shooters. Mm-hmm. So, like, well, like, I'm good at, like, arcade shooters when you hold the fake gun and you know, shoot like that. Like, well, they have zombie ones like that and stuff like that, too. But I'm not good at first-person shooters in general. And I'm not really good at shooters when you've just got, like, a mouse or a controller or something. I have a hard time aiming.
Well, that makes sense because with your shake a little bit, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And it's just, I don't like games where it's like there are five whole guns in the entire game and 10 bullets and that's all you can find, you know, like, and you have to be super careful with your ammo and you can only keep certain things. And
it's realistic though, you have
10
shots.
It is realistic.
So I hate those games that you
got. But I hate those.
I love, this was in my days of, this came out during my Jason Isaacs time period because of Harry Potter had come out. And we love Jason Isaacs. So it was such a thrill to see him at the end. Like, I remember that being like a final, like, oh, it's Jason Isaacs.
Hmm.
And he was supposed to be in the next one, but scheduling issues. So they renamed the doctor Dr. Isaacs as kind of like an honorary.
Aww, engineer. Nice.
So that's why we have a Dr. Isaacs in it. For Jason, so do you have anything to add before we look at fan fiction?
Um, Just an interesting little mention that Paul W.S. Anderson wrote and directed this, but Alan B. McElroy was the one who actually started writing Resident Evil. It was a very different, I'll just say it was a very different story. And it took him so long to finish it that they were just like, never mind. They got Paul W.S. Anderson to write it.
Well, and George A. Romero was going to direct it too, but then he was unavailable. It was going to be very interesting. But, yeah.
Yeah, apparently Romero stated that he had his secretary play the entire game through and record the gameplay so he could study it as a resource.
Well, they made all the actors play it too.
Oh, okay.
And the ones that didn't think they could get through it, they actually bought videos of people finishing the game. Like, playing the game start to finish it, because the ones that didn't think they could finish it in time. Which I don't blame them. I don't think I would have been able to finish it in time either. So.
No, I don't think I've ever actually finished a Resident Evil game.
I love that. One of my favorite trivia pieces from this is Mila Jovovich. All the bruises and cuts on her, they're not makeup. They're actual damage she incurred from this, and she actually did damage. She injured 3 different crew members or cast members during filming this.
Oops.
Even giving Anderson a black eye at one point.
Oh my goodness.
Her future husband.
She gets really into it, huh?
Oh, she got really into it, yeah. So I just thought that was kind of funny. Like, it's
I didn't know she married Anderson.
Oh yeah, they got married, have 3 kids. They're still married.
Oh nice.
Yeah, they met on the set.
Aw.
Oh, you know what I am reading? There are supposed to be, Alice in Wonderland connections. That is so smart. I was like, oh, reminds me of Alice in Wonderland. Well, yeah, there's connections.
Yeah, it's supposed to.
I did not know that.
It's so funny. So Sarah Michelle Gellar was originally set to star as Alice. At one point during development, Jennifer Love Hewitt, Kristen Dunst, and Natasha Henstridge were all in the running to play Jill Valentine, but due to the amount of nudity in the role, they all turned it down, and the character was written out in later versions of the script.
Oh, that's right. Well, she comes back in the, I think it's the next sequel she comes in, isn't it? Jill shows up?
She does, in the sequel,
And David Boreanaz, who you guys might know as Angel, he was supposed to be, I think he was supposed to be J.D. or Kaplan. He was supposed to have a role in this too, but because of Angel, he couldn't do it, so he's very popular at the time. I don't know if you know the name or not. So.
Yes.
Okay. Just very interesting how different of a movie it would have been. Like, if you did have, like, Sarah Michelle Gellar and Natasha Henstridge. And
yeah, it would have been very different, yeah.
I don't know why, but I love Sarah Michelle Gellar. Don't get me wrong. She always gives me, like, this Valley Girl vibe. Like, so all I can see is, like, Valley Girl Alice. I don't know.
Yeah, I see it. I definitely see that. Valley Girl Alice. I'm not a Sarah Michelle Gellar fan. I know, like, all the Buffy fans out there want to crucify me right now.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, there's nothing wrong with her. I'm just not a fan.
No, that's fine. You know, it's a good fan. I mean, most people are fans of
ours. I don't dislike her. No, they're not. I don't dislike her. I just, I'm kind of like, meh. Sarah Michelle Gellar, meh.
She's there.
A bit of a... Yeah.
The Licker's nickname on set was Clint. Hi, Clint. How's it going?
Nice.
Now I want Clint for a pet.
Nice.
Do you want some fan fiction?
I would love some fan fiction.
Hi. So we have a shit ton. We have over 161 for the whole series. I mean, it kind of goes... So, I mean, it's not just for this movie. They kind of put it all together, which are, what are their total? 7 movies, I want to say. But some of the funnier ones are Harry Potter. Okay, I can kind of get that. Twilight, Walking Dead, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Terminator. And then you've got, like, The Fairly Odd Parents, Kill Bill, X-Men, Pokemon, James Bond. There we go, My Little Pony.
Oh my gosh.
Lion King. Sonic the Hedgehog.
Nice.
A Saw.
Oh, as you do.
Hannah Montana.
Naturally.
The Hobbit. Glee. and Teen Wolf.
Oh, did they sing about being zombies in the Glee story?
The Glee one right now. Hold on. Oh, hold on. I have to go mature. It's a mature rated one. Ben is one of the very few survivors. Traveling with companions and friends, they must go get to TOLAF. I have no idea what that is. Before it's too late. But it's not going to be easy. They're going to have to make some hard decisions along the way. I have no idea what this, how this has to do with Glee. TOLAF. It's not sectionals, so I don't know what it is. Because Glee was always going to sectionals when I watched the first couple of seasons. Whatever.
I have no idea.
I'm kind of curious about the My Little Pony. I think I might have to pull up that one and see what that one's all about, because we love a good My Little Pony, don't we?
We sure do. Especially if it's vivisection.
Pinkie Pie visits Raccoon City.
Do you remember that? That was one of our first episodes when we talked about
Pony Vivisection.
Pony Vivisection.
Let's see here. What would happen if the forever partying pink pony went to the city that could easily be known as Hell on Earth? Well, let's say, just say Twilight made a mistake with a teleportation spell, and Pinkie Pie is sent to Raccoon City and meets Alice and Jill Valentine. I want to see Jill Valentine ride Pinkie Pie. Why are you staring at me like this?
I'm disturbed.
You're horrified. Do you need an adult?
I do.
Should we get the fuck out?
I want to talk about one more thing before we do that.
No.
I want to talk about Golden Schmoes Awards.
What is that?
The Golden Schmoes is...
something you just made up.
No.
Okay.
The Joe Blow Movie Network, joeblow.com, which focuses on news, film reviews, and movie trailers, and YouTube channels that focus on trailers, movie clips, celebrity interviews, original content, and its film distribution. And they have a Golden Schmoes Awards, and they nominated Resident Evil for Most Underrated Movie of the Year and Best Horror Movie of the Year. They did not win.
Who won for horror movie in 2002?
I don't know.
Unhelpful.
It doesn't say who won. It just says they were nominated.
You're nominated.
They were nominated for Best Horror Film and Best Actress in the 29th Saturn Awards. And they were nominated for the German Camera Awards Outstanding Editing in a Feature Film. And the Golden Trailer Awards for Most Original.
Oh, you also had Halloween Resurrection, Ring, 28 Days Later, The Grudge. It was a huge year.
Fear.com. Oh, yeah, that's... Fever. Wow, that is a huge year.
Hypnotic. American Psycho. Yeah, okay. All right, Blade 2. Yeah, there's stuff.
Okay.
Never mind. That makes sense.
Are we rating now?
Yeah, go ahead. You start us.
Okay. I am going to give it a 7.5. I think it's a solid film. It's entertaining. And the fact that it's about zombies, but I don't hate it, says a lot.
Okay. I love this film. I'm going to go a little higher, unfortunately. I'm at a 8.1112.
Okay.
Because I own it. I love it. I've seen it probably at least a dozen times. I'm almost at the point where I could possibly... do it line by line.
Why are you so much quieter than me?
Because I'm a quiet person. Not really. I don't know. Maybe you didn't do sound.
Oh, there you got really loud. You, it's you.
Oh, it's me. Is it me?
It's you.
Anyway, so that's where I'm at.
Okay. All right. An 8.112?
8.112, yes.
Nice.
Thank you.
Okay. So that's it for this week then, I guess, huh?
Mm-hmm.
We are part of the Morbidly Beautiful Podcast Network. Morbidlybeautiful.com is your place for all things horror. And they have a great podcast network that you should totally check out, because you might find a show that you like almost as much as us. Ha ha ha. We could really use some support. If you'd like, a free way to support us is just to leave us a review, which is great because it allows us to get more people listening to the podcast. If you'd like to flash some cash, we also have a merch store that'll be linked in the show notes. And that's it from me, Chaos. So I'll just say thanks for listening and stay bloodthirsty, friends.
Good night from Carnage, and as always, we're filmed in front of a live studio audience of loud fucking kitty cats. Hello.